is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful Thursday. While everybody's in lockdown, everybody might as well be checking out the radio show and seeing what's going on out there on the internet. For those of you who are paranormal investigators, great time to break out that DVR and look at all that footage that you've been sitting on for a while, because it takes time. And now everybody seems to have time to do that. So I recommend that. Bring out your computer, do your EVP work, look at your photographs, give them a chance, see what you've been capturing out there, you know. Great time to do that. Hope everybody's well out there, trying to stay as healthy as possible during these wild times in our lives, of course, you know. A lot of stress, a lot of people at home, a lot of businesses shutting down or on hold. Our entire economy is basically on hold. Hopefully, we're going to handle on things and get back to getting out there and doing some more investigative work. Unfortunately, I see a lot of paranormal conventions are being postponed. One of the ones that I'm doing excited about that was going to happen at the beginning of May was obviously the one we do every year. Virginia City Paracon, this is the 10th anniversary for us, so it's going to be a really big, exciting time. We have pushed that back to the second week in August. So hopefully you guys will still be getting a chance to tune into that. And those of you who are lucky enough to join us up in Virginia City, I highly recommend it. If you haven't been there, it's a great place to go. Everything is haunted. Just having the greatest time in the world. So anyway, let's get back to the show. Tonight on My Darkest Hour, I have Keith Bailey. A lot of you might know Keith from Bailey Paranormal. He's the co-founder and the lead investigator. He's been experiencing the paranormal since a very young age. We'll have him tell a little bit about that story and how he got into the paranormal. I have spoken to Keith a couple of times at a couple of different paranormal paracons, and thought this would be a great chance to get him on the show and do a little bit of updating and see what's happening. So let's go ahead and bring him on the show. I'm going to go in the green room and click him in. Hopefully
he's
out there with us.
Keith, how are you? I'm doing well. How are you in these very dynamic times? I'm here.
Yeah. Things have changed quite dynamically, and it just shows the human resourcefulness that we all have. Hopefully, we're all being healthy. You know,
it does. I've been in the industry actually of the fire and EMS services now for over 30 years. So I've worked in health and safety, and I'm still active in it even now. Even working on the front lines now with the COVID-19, and almost being recalled, and it's an honor to me because I'm really helping to get out there and, you know, separate a little bit of the fact, you know, from the fears, if you will. And that's a humbling feeling. That's why I've always had to make the correlation between being a paramedic and a paranormal investigator. It's by the side of, which is what PARA stands for. And so I enjoy doing that. I help people not only in the years of being a paramedic and firefighter, but even being a paranormal investigator. So, you know, I've been blessed that, you know, through and through all of this, continue to, you know, have a job and work and help people. And so I, you know, that's my prayer when we speak of, about getting, you know, things back to normal is getting the economy up and going again and get people out there having their jobs, because it's some really concerning times. And so my prayer going forward is that's something we're able to do for sure. So, hey, how are you been doing?
I've been doing good. Working on the house a lot since we're on lockdown and just got a chance to do some of that stuff.
It is.
But
that's
even
that's
with
what
you
a lot
saying
of people
that, you know, Keith, just the fact that you're out there in the front lines and making it happen and you know, doing the fighting thing and being with the paramedics out there, you know, I just want to say, for me and everybody here at the show, everybody at LiveParanormal.com, yes, I saw that. And everybody from Blog Talk Radio, we just want to say thank you for being out there and being one of the first people to be involved with that and helping other people. I think about that a lot myself. Like, what else can I do as a person who's got the downtime to go out there and help people, you know?
So, you know, my biggest thing is I tell people during these times is to stay vigilant. Don't replace, you know, that good common sense with so much fear. You know, all it costs is not the virus. That's one of the things, the misconception these days, is that sadly we're also, or ironically, we're in these times now with the flu, having these allergies type of season as well as spring comes in. And so people tend to get that kind of that whole thing. But, you know, gauge yourself, watch yourself. Certainly if you have this fever that is along with a cough, it'd be something to get with your doctor and certainly, you know, recognize that. But I tell people, you know, stay vigilant, you know, stay grounded. There's a lot of paranormal investigators I've talked to, my friends, that say there's this heightened sense of this energy out there now that is causing this almost cosmic, you know, this global strange type of energy. And a lot of us, when we release that into the almost a paranormal atmosphere in fear, it kind of hones that type of energy of people. Just even on the streets, you can feel it. People are just scared. They're looking. I've never seen so many people wash their hands in my life. You know, and so, and that's something we probably should have, you know, been doing all along. But that's one of the things when people approach me is I say, you know, calm down, you know, realize that these are some very challenging times and also concerning, but it's not a time to let fear override your good judgment. You know, just, you know, gauge your days as the day goes by, a healthy day that you had, it's a blessed day. So look out, you know, my biggest thing too, I pass on, look out for those ones who can't help themselves. If you know of a either obviously a loved one, but an elderly person who you may think, hey, you know, through the front door or window, hey, can I go get you something? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? You know, they may be really struggling in these times where you can go do something for them. So this is time for us as humans, humanity, to kind of be there for our fellow mankind. And be kind to the others who may need help, because they may not be able to get out as much. They certainly are more. They're saying the CDC now, anything over 65 or older is very concerning ages for people who are do not fare well if they were to get this virus. Very concerning, especially if they're, you know, compromised in some way. They just don't. You know, they don't have that vigor to fight it off as much. So if they get an opportunity to stay home more and you have to make that one day a week travel out, and if you think you can help them, that's just a blessing. I just say you're going to gain a bigger halo in heaven one day when you help those people. And this is a time where you see so many people doing so many kind things. And I think it's making us, we're going to live in different times now. So to be vigilant about, but don't give up. Don't in the towel. We'll get through this. Us as a planet have got through other very challenging things, so I don't think it's a time to throw in the towel. I tell people, keep going, keep digging, keep moving forward. And certainly another easy thing to do is just call and check on someone. You know, it's sad we don't do that as much as anymore as a society. We text, we tweet, we Twitter, we do all these things, and that's a form of communication. But take those 5 minutes to call somebody and say, you know, how are you doing? I was just checking on you. Are you okay? Do you need anything? So I put that out there a lot. If you do see my post, they're posts of positivity, and it's just say, hey, I was thinking about you today. Because that person out there who's struggling and stressed and anxiety, they may need that to think, hey, somebody's looking out for me. And that might be the only, you know, the pat on the shoulder or nice form of communication that somebody gets out there. So I'm blessed to be able to have that kind spirit about me that I keep, you know. I think it's so important, especially us doing what we do as paranormal investigators. That's our foundation, helping people. It's no different. So now we have a grand opportunity to, we may not be out going to these paracons or these others. They're all, like you mentioned, being canceled. But look at other opportunities to push, to take the paranormal and say, hey, you're that guy who does that ghost stuff, but you're going out there helping buy my groceries or do things or helping me. So that's why I say, let's put a name on the paranormal as something else than just going in these dark, spooky buildings and turn that name around as being that person to help people. So it's a grand opportunity right now for us as well.
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about the paranormal community, it's not just paranormal community. We are a community of people that have bonded together, whether it's in the paranormal or anything else. We're still a group of people, and if we can make that change and focus our energy a little bit on doing exactly what you say, check with your neighbors. If they're too old to go out and you're just going to go get something, they might need something simple. You know, you never know, some milk or water or whatever. I mean, I'm all about
right.
I'm fortunate enough to have my mother-in-law lives in the house next to me, so I check with her if we're going out. On the corner house, there's another little old lady that I check with. If I see her going outside to check the mail, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go out in about an hour. You need me to pick you up, anything? And things like that. I even have a retirement home down the street, which I can walk to if I want to. But I could always go to their director and say, hey, you know, what would be helpful for us? You need me to go pick up something? Whatever, just show a helping hand. We're not running into our houses, hiding in our caves, waiting for the end of times. We're taking that energy and we're being positive, and we're helping us get stronger and better faster.
Right. That's those little things. You know, it's you know, I love the paracons. I've been to many, many. I think last year I may have went to as many as 12, maybe 16. I went to a bunch. I had went from pillar to post from. And love them. I love the people, the friends, the homecomings, the all the people in the community that we all know and love. And not getting to go to them this year, as much as it kind of stings in its own purity, I still look at it as now we have to deal with something different. Okay, so we do that. We can turn that, oh, gee whiz, I don't get to go do that, but turn it into the positive. Say, what can I do in my local community? Because those, you know, that's where we kind of, our home turf, you know, that's our place, that's our hood, that's our, you know, that's where we do our thing. And you can and do that, and then people say, wow, you know, we don't always have to look in the dark at the paranormal, although that's when we do our best work, but we can, in the light, you know, turn this into a light and say, wow, what can we do? And it truly is a little thing, you know. Nobody's saying, hey, we need you to go out there and pay your neighbor's mortgage. I mean, that's not, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be that, it's, you know, to that level. They just may need it to where they have someone they need to be home with who's, you know, bed confined and elderly or, you know, children. Hey, I'm running up there anyway. What can I do for you? And I say, you pay that forward. Those things truly come back to you in time. They really do. They seriously do. So that's why for me, I found it, hey, you know, what can I do? I'm heading that way anyway, and it's a blessing. Life's about blessings to me. You know, one of the things people know me as, but I do, that good feeling you get in your heart stays with you, and nobody can take that away. Nobody. That's you. That's who you are. And so, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5", 260-plus pound. I look like a UFC fighter, but I have a heart that's just, you know, I cry at the humane the commercials with the puppies on there. I'm like, oh, I can't look at it. Can't do it. Got to look away. But I do have a tender heart. But, you know, I guess that's the paramedic in me. I just have that greater love for humanity. And that's, you know, that's what's carried me all these years. But, you know, we've met, we've talked. I'm a boy, Jay, and all those on the, you know, out in Arizona and stuff. That, you know, they're like family to me. And we're both big guys. I mean, you see us, we look like a, you know, a big WWE wrestling team or something. But, and they're just,
absolutely.
You just have those big hearts. You just have those hearts where you just, you know, hey, you know, let's see what we can do this together. And I, you know, and I do. People panic. You almost have to grab their hand and say, "Oh, it's okay. We'll get through this together." And that little bit of kind word sometimes is enough to get somebody to say, "Hey, man, I appreciate it. I don't have anybody else." I mean, maybe they lost their loved one. Maybe they don't. Maybe they are single, or you know, so. You know, it's not hard to do. It's probably easier to be nice to somebody than it is mean. So that's we're just in those times now. We'll get through them. The Paracons will move on. They'll always be there. I think once we give this a good vigilant effort for about a good long, strong month, we'll find that we will indeed flatten that curve, and we'll be able to say, hey, let's move on. We'll probably come out like in the Wizard of Oz where the little gremlins are going, "Hey, is the witch gone?" "Yes, the witch is gone. You can come out now and walk around, and it's okay. You know, come out wherever you are." And we'll say, "Hey," but we'll be wiser. We'll be more vigilant. We'll probably just, like they've said, this is going to be something we're going to have to learn to live with. But if that's what we do and we get the economy going again, okay, that's what we do. I think a lot of people want to get to go back out and, you know, see people. And instead of hugs, maybe virtual hugs, hey, you know, wave. That 6-foot rule is really enforced out there. And that's what we do. That's what we do. I'll take that over being at home the next 6 months and not getting to get out. So, of course, you know, being on the front lines, you don't really have that option. You know, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But so I've got some pretty exciting things I wanted to. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got some pretty exciting things on the paranormal world that is really kind of coming up here that I am excited about. I don't know if you had the opportunity to follow, but me and Sam Biacrucis is going to be doing a show coming up as well, May 5th, and it's Paranormal Rewind. So we're pretty excited about that. That's something that's coming on in the future. So I don't know if you know Sam. If Sam's an author, really good guy. And we're looking to do a show as well with me and him. So that's something in my paranormal future that is something I'm really looking forward to.
Where is it going to be hosted on? Where can people be able to check that out?
It's I need to try to look at the actual. It's out of Las Vegas. It's a podcast that we're doing, and I believe it's KCOH, if I'm not mistaken. If I didn't get the letters wrong, I hope I didn't. But you can look up Paranormal Rewind with Sam Biacrucis and Keith Bailey, and you'll see that. And that's going to be May 5th. At the very first of May, we're going to be going investigating the USS Salem, the ship, and it's going to be kind of the kickoff to that show. Sam's going to have a team. I'm going to have a team, and we're going to investigate the ship with some folks. That's still our plans going forward, but that's going to be something really, really super, super fun because there's going to, you know, our whole plans for that is certainly to get some folks that are in the paranormal community to kind of have their own time to get to kind of just, it's just, you know, what brings them to heart on their topics and what they want to speak on. And, And I think that's so crucial these days, because there's so many, you know, different programs of so many that us love, but then we have the ones that have been with us that are just near and dear to our heart. So, and that's, to me, something that's pretty special to get to be a part of with Sam, because he is a great guy. He's also going to be at Vulture City this fall.
Excellent. That sounds good. I'm glad that you guys got something going on that people will be able to tune into, you know, trying to just keep that whole paranormal train going.
Yeah.
With information and places. And I do a lot of streaming from a lot of events and stuff, and I really get people commenting on it saying they appreciate that because they couldn't make it to a Paracon or they couldn't get to a certain place because it was so far away and they really want to check it out. So I think that means a lot to those people who want to be part of the paranormal community that just don't have a chance to get out there and do that. So
and that is the thing. It'll be a virtual live, and I know our first guest is just is an absolute rock star. People are going to go, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. But I will just tell you that I'm blessed to get to have some friends in the paranormal that, you know, every day that I'm just so joyful that these people are friends of mine and colleagues. And I've got to be to where I'm so blessed to have them as friends. So, and I've learned a lot from so many of them. So, you know, and I will give us a shout out too. I think it's imperative these days because it's a show that we're all learning from. Season 2 is coming up. Of Ghost Hunters coming up on April the 8th on A&E, a 2-hour season premiere. The team we all know and love, Grant Wilson heading that team up. But they've, you know, this is what's so cool about this team is that these guys are going, you know, and doing investigations at places that have yet to be charted. And, I mean, just wow. From the outward buzz and the excitement and everything that's building for this is very real, because you know this is a team of folks that each in their discipline brings so much to the table. So I'm super stoked for that show. I can tell you the team we all know and love, you know, the Ghost Hunters team. With, you know, Grant Wilson heading the team there, but I'm looking forward to it. So show some love to those peeps, because man, that's going to be an awesome season premiere. And then the entire season is probably one of the biggest coming premieres of the season, you know, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I'm really, really excited about that.
And that's on A&E. So everybody should check that out. Like says, a lot of you listeners who've been following me for a long time know that Brandon Alves is a close friend of mine who lives down the street from me here. So he is on that show. He is on the Ghost Hunter show. So check it out. Give him some love. He's always on his Facebook page or Instagram talking about things from the locations. I've worked on my hypothesis of infrasound and the paranormal for the past 10 years, and I've been doing that stuff with Brendan for a little while now. So very cool. That's a great shout out.
Oh man. If I were to try to say enough good about Brendan, I'm very blessed to get to not only to get to have, know him, but I'm a huge, huge as most people who get to know me, tech guy. But what I've learned from Brandon is basically something that I've even titled myself is evidence-based practice. And Brandon's approach to the paranormal is something that I've even mirrored myself. And I got to be to where one day I just realized that basically mirroring the same type of equipment as far as a data logger is something to me that's something that I have just really come to such a realization of the scientific approach. And, you know, being a firefighter all these years and the studies we did in burn labs and other things that were getting firefighters hurt, you know, we did studies. We found out upper limits and heats and how we were able to change those dynamically. The same thing kind of get to be in the paranormal, where we went with blinky lights and little bells and whistles and, you know, and to where, wait a second, what could we do to get the best evidence base and some sort of practice to where what we're getting is something that society will now become to say, hey, look at this. We're, you know, whatever investigator you are and what equipment you use, the data loggers, that you're able to get something that is so much more valid to where you can say, hey, we got a temperature change, we had, you know, some pressures and humidity. There was a dynamic change in or about the same time you captured an class A EVP. Well, that's something you can tie together with that and say, hey, you know, that kind of, you know, that's something pretty cool. You know, speaking of the team, recently, Glen Tavern Inn out in California right there, we went out. I got to go with the guys and the girls went out. And me and Kristen Lumen and Rochelle were up on, I believe it was the third floor. And we actually took, had a data logger and had a camera that we were using at the time, an SLS, and actually captured changes with the data logger at the same time that we mapped something. So when you tie those together and you talk about getting something that's credible, it's not the one piece of evidence that you got. You got two, and then you can say, well, that's pretty hard to say it wasn't something paranormal. So that's what we're leaning more to now. I know myself, obviously, with Brandon and being on the team, but now when I do even my own residential cases and go to that, you know, you just learn. And that's what, for me, what paracons are. When you go and then you get to go do an investigation on top of that at one of these, it's so cool. I learn. I just try to, even when me and you were out at, what was that? We were in, where was that? We
Vulture
were at,
City.
We were out there. We were at Vulture City. We were also at the one with Jay. Remember the one out in with Doug McCarron and out there? We went there and did an investigation at one of the towns there.
Jackson? Was it the one in Jackson?
Yeah, we were at we were all out there, and that was a target rich environment because you had areas that were just buzzing with, you know, lots of captures and EVPs and other things. And I always tell people, if you want to go and have an opportunity to learn and then do that, when you go to these paracons and they have an investigation tagged with it, go there and take your equipment. And that's an opportunity, because if you are actually on a team and you actually go to a case, you can take those things you learn at a paracon and say, wow, you know, Keith showed me this, or, you know, Steph showed me this. And then you're able to take that, and then if you experience that at a residential case, well, then there you go. Then you can say, okay. So, you know, I always look at it as we're always trying to learn in this field. You know, obviously there's nobody that's, you know, Bob, the paranormal expert, you know, PhD guy, or this person who carries his name as per se a subject matter expert in this field. There's per se really no college you go and get your paranormal degree. But you can do your due diligence and continue to go and learn and read and study as much as you can about those viable pieces of equipment that are out there that are getting the best evidence these days. So, that's just something that, to me, look at that. And if you don't know, set up a base as you get friends on networks, and if you get a chance to go investigate with them, then learn from it. And that's, to me, I'm always willing to learn. Hey, if you got something new that you did and it worked for you, I'm like, well, what did you do? What happened? How was that? And then, hey, you carry that with you. So it's always so fun in this industry, so how we're just constantly doing something. You know, guess what they did out at this investigation? Wow, really? Yeah, they caught a Class A EVP. Oh, cool. Great. Well, you know, what did they use? So it's so exciting of how in this industry, we get to continually go through things as we learn and then Rolodex them in our mind, and we can use them on the next case we go to. So that's one of the things I love about this industry, too, is the things that we take from them. And we always talk about crossing the veil, the things that we're trying to reach across and do. And there's finally getting to be a respect from society little by little that we are, you know, bridging that gap to the unknown and slowly starting to prove that there is, in fact, ways that we are credibly finding evidence, you know, to the other side and that do once they leave the, you know, their physical body. So it's exciting to me. I'm always looking for that opportunity.
Absolutely. And I agree with you when you talk about learning from the speakers at the paranormal conventions, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for things that are new, or we're looking at revising some things that are old. I've done a few events where I talk about bringing back some of the old techniques, you know, the mm-hmm. the fire gazing and water gazing and stuff. I include like mm-hmm. Certain type of cameras to stare at the right. water, and then you can use a certain type, whether it's high speed or low speed, to see if you can get shapes or figures. People ask about that. But in a lot of the stuff that I get that people ask me about as far as what kind of equipment do you use, what's the best thing to use on an investigation, I tell them, use everything you got. Whether it's old equipment, try a scenario, you're testing it to see how it works in this environment, try something new, see what that test results were, then put a comparison on them, start keeping those variables. Because one thing I've been saying for the past 30 years is I meet a lot of paranormal investigators, but I don't meet enough paranormal researchers. That
Correct.
Being said, mm-hmm. I mean, people going out there and wanting to play and learn, it's exciting, and they got their equipment and stuff, mm-hmm. and they're getting
right.
their feet wet, which is great. But what about step
right.
two? What are you doing with the
right.
evidence that you just got? You're going to go to the next place next weekend, and you're going to do the same thing, and then you're going to compare them. I mean, different types of day,
right.
different types of night.
Mm-hmm.
What, it's full moon. Is it not a full moon? Is there a variance there?
Right.
I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to try everything and get all the notes as much as we can on all the techniques we use.
That's a good point. When you speak about research, you know, that's why I always carry my name as an investigator or research. And people seem to step away from that, you know, that whole thing with research is almost like a fear. Ooh, that's science. You go in and it's, you know, and calipers and all these other things. So I said, look, research can be as easy as you go in and you say, look, I wonder if spirits can see me or can they see me? So what I'll do is I did one morning. I woke up and said, I'm going to try something. So I got my communication device, and I literally was there and had it. And I said, good morning, spirits. Who's talking with you? I always start with, you know, telling who I am. And they said my name, and I said, okay. And one of them, of course, good morning. So then the next thing I did, I said, So I had my cup of coffee in my hand, and I said, can you tell me what I'm holding in my hand? Do you see that? And, of course, it wasn't very long after that. One of them said, coffee. Okay. Well, I went to the next step. I thought, I wonder what I could do. So, of course, one of my little fur babies that are close by comes up, and I pick him up. And I said, okay, can you now tell me what do you see that I'm holding? What is it now? And I heard two responses. One was a female, and she said, a puppy. And then someone right after that, in a very distinct, you know, language, said, a dog. And I was like, wow. So I tend to tell people if they're looking to do things to where they want to kind of compare and contrast things of how what, you know, the environments, maybe if you go to a building, you can do it somewhere right where you're at. And just if you feel as if it's safe enough, and obviously in a place that you wish to do that, I'm safe enough to do it in my home because I don't have any malevolent type, you know, activity that's here. I'm blessed, and that's what I do. But I was able to get that and then realize I do, in fact, believe that they have that capability. They do see us, and that I even truly believe that they tend to, almost in some world of the other veil, see us and the activity we do. And that could just be asking, you know, spirits, where was I last? Where did I just come from? Can you tell me? And now when you get a response and they tell you Walmart, you're like, okay, they really are. They really do watch that. They know that. And that just goes to show you, it's those little things. So research does not have to be something that gives you a headache and makes your eyes cross and scares you. It can just be those little things, those nuggets that you add to over and over until you get to be, wow, this is something that I feel that they can, in fact, you know, they see us, they watch us, we're right there. So that to me is pretty powerful. It makes me have so much more respect, which sadly is something that I believe in this industry, little by little, kind of gets lost. We tend to have this whole feeling inside us, show me your ghost, I know you're here, and we kick the wall and we throw our hands up, I know you're here, there's a ghost, come out, you can't hide from me. And, you know, I always tell people, would you want to be talked to if you were a spirit? You'd be like, no, I'm leaving. You're not going to take that. So I tell people, have that edge of respect, turn the chair around, sit down, and talk to them as if you would want to be talked to. And I'd almost be willing to bet your results are going to increase by double of how they're going to want to talk to you then. So that's just crucial. Be respectful, take time, sit down, introduce yourself, and take it as if, you know, you're going to visit, you know, your grandmother at her house. Be kind, be respectful, and your results will double. I've seen it so many times.
It's true. It is about respect, because you got to think, you know, spirits are people too. And
right.
If you're the spirit and this guy's coming in saying, you better come out here and talk to me, I'm going to challenge you right now. Like, you're just going to go in the other room and go, wow, that guy's a jerk. I'm not going out there. You got to go.
And then they wonder why they don't get anything. They don't get a K2 hit, an EVP. They don't get a kick on their soul. They get nothing, nada. And those are the ones you go to those, again, those paracons, and people are leaving an investigation, and one group walks out the door, hey, what y'all have? Nothing. And then you go inside, you spin the chair around and say, hey, my name's Keith, I want to visit with you. Would you like to spend some time? Is there anything you'd like to say? And then it's just, all, hey, and I've even got one time that said that. They said, talk to him. And that was like, wow. It you have to know that they've got a history. They may have been in that building for 200 years. They lived in a time when we weren't even around. What they've been through, you know, they went through their time of diseases and death and so many other, you know, so challenging times as well. So who are we to come in with our, you know, our fancy equipment and think we're just going to walk up and talk to them any kind of way? You know, it does not work that way. And I try to tell people, you know, you get a long ways with the respect, and then you get something from a spirit you probably wouldn't anything else than, and so just, you know, be nice. But that's sometimes you can tell people that over and over and they don't get it. And so, there, you know, there's not all angels out there in the world of investigators. Sadly, some, you know, set their head on, you know, put their hats on horns when they're on their head. You know, they're not very kind people either. And that's why I lean to you in this industry. Just be nice. Just be nice. It gets you a lot further.
It's true. You get better results when you talk to them as people instead of the same old
right.
stuff trying to challenge them. And for those of you listening, you know, think about when you go out there and do EVP work. Don't have your top 10 same question. Try to mix it up a
right.
bit. You're going out there, you're having a conversation. How many times do we go to historically haunted locations and you got 20 people going in there asking the same questions over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your name? Tell us why you're here. What year is it? You know, these people are like, oh, these guys again. I mean,
mm-hmm.
have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? Record it, because they might say, fine. You know, are you here? Talk to me. Can you talk to me? They'll say yes or no. But try to make
right.
it something exciting. I like to ask them, like, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, what kind of music do you like to listen to? You know, because that's something. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I like music, so maybe they'll like music too, and then we can talk. We have something in common. You know, just kind of kind of do stuff like that. You're having just a regular conversation, and try that technique for a while and see what you get.
That's such a good point. You hit on that. I just made me think of something. You know, one of the things this is paramount is research on a building. If you really want to go do a really cool investigation, right? If you know the history of that building and you know that spirit that's known to be there, and they're a jazz musician. I mean, we're both musicians. You know, you're a guitarist. I'm a drummer. That maybe if they are that, you know, you got a little jazz music, you know, and you play it on your phone. Hey, man, I want to do something for you. I had one of my most amazing investigation when we were at Pennhurst with, Bob Christopher and Gina Bingston. We went out there, had a huge, big Paracon, had a really fun time. And I literally, the longest I've ever talked to a spirit ever, was right at 20 minutes. I was with a group of four or five other people, and it was almost as if I called it, we were in a living room. We were in a living room. This spirit was like, hi. It was a female, and what really got me, and it brought us all to tears, literally, is when this spirit, you know, we asked, so how are you? You know, we want to visit with you. Is that okay? And her response, and what I'm about to say, Florida, she said, it's my birthday. Now, was it really her birthday? Was it her birthday? So guess what we did next? We sang her happy birthday, all of us. And let me tell you, after that, I don't think we had a dry eye in the group. Even one of the most, you know, staunch guys that were there kind of turned around. And, of course, the rest of us were like boo-hooing. He was said, I have something in my eye. But all of it, because we went. And let me tell you, I will never, ever, never forget that moment. She literally, even when we have to leave, knowing she was like, bye. It was, think of that very moment. Here's this spirit looking out those doors potentially, and we're leaving, and there she is to that building. It makes me that much more love the paranormal of how you can go. And if only a moment in time you had a spirit that was very lonely and is into that building. And we said, hey, happy birthday. You know, we'll look to see you here another time. And that's what, to me, opponent of just being kind, man, it just made us, we all smile. If I had eight people after that, you know, contact me and say, Keith, man, I really appreciate it. I have never, ever had such a fun time on investigation in my life. And, you know, they told Bob and Gina, hey, have him back next year and have him like as a guest, because he brought a bunch of equipment, and I have never had so many results. We had K2s that were actually sweeping to red, staying on red. Now, mind you, they were 10 feet apart. One was on one little space, another was on the other. And I even asked, I said, so I have these little lights and they're green. Can you? And I barely got out, can you? And they both went to red. And I was like, oh my. And she just loved them. I says, do you like those? And I heard a little giggle. Yes. You know, we have it recorded, actually. We actually have the, actually from the Phasm box, and I believe somebody was recording it on their phone, and she just said, Keith, I don't even know what to say. I've never, and I think it's just that gentle approach that you come in very nice, very kind, that you get those responses. So, you know, there again, it's how you go about it that you will find either you will get results, or you just may not. But it's all how you go about it that will render that time. So we had a ball. Even though it was so hot that week, and it was kind of challenging for a lot of us, we sweat. But after that, I mean, Johnny Zappas was there. Grant Wilson was there. So many people were at the there at that building. But everybody was like, wow, this place is so super. You know, it doesn't mean that they have to be scary. That's one of the misconceptions in the paranormal, is that just because you may go to a building of horror, sorrow, and sadness, there's a lot of tragedies there. And of course, that's an energy that's wrapped in that building. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go to some place for one spirit. It's just wanting you to say, hey, please talk to me. Please sit down. You know, so it doesn't mean that there's that horde one there that's going to scrape you or kick you or scratch you or something else. It may be maybe some other little sad person that's there that wants to, you know, so that approach to that is what's going to render your either lots of evidence or maybe not. So don't go in it with that preconception. Oh, it was a building of torture. They tied these people to the bed. Well, did they really? I mean, even if they did, don't go in there demanding that sense of, well, you're going to talk to me. You ain't got no place to go anyway. And I just don't do that. I'll usually tell somebody, here's a lot of things I keep quiet about, but I'll say, don't say that. That's not nice.
Cool. Tell us.
There, you know, don't do that. So, but I tell you, I'm looking forward to once we get past some of these things through this year that's kind of got us in the mud. We're kind of slid off the road a little bit here in life with this, what's going on. But I think once we get back on the road, get moving down the path, you know, get back out there and support your paranormal community. It's a very important thing, because we all have love for each other, whether it's our Paracon or someone else's. You know, talk it up, show some love, put it out there. You know, it doesn't matter if you've been doing this like, you know, 30 plus years, 35, 40, and the people who are coming into it, try to teach someone something, spend some time, support their events, talk about their events, because in reality, you know, you can as much push somebody else's event as they're going to push yours. So why not just do it in a sense of being friends and being nice and be kind about it? And then everybody's successful, then maybe just trying to have one person successful. So that's why I'm big about putting the love out there, because it does pay dividends. It really does.
I totally agree. And that's another thing about our paranormal community. You know, it's not just people sharing information, but it's all the people that are involved that are making it happen, all the people who are putting on the Paracons, the people who are out there doing the radio shows, the people who are doing the TV shows, the people who are writing the books, even the columnists in the paranormal magazines that we read. You know, I used to do a lot of column writing back in the day, and we all talk to each other. We all talk about each other. I mean, anytime we come across a piece of equipment that just is mind-blowing, we tell others. We go to other places and we test it out. I talk about stuff, equipment on the show, events, things that I've learned from other people that I'm just like, oh, that's awesome. You know, it's super exciting, and I love that. And that's why I do this show. I bring on the people that I meet from the Paracons, like yourself, and obviously the Yates are on like 3 or 4 times a year. But it does growing together, learning from each other. I know I might have learned something from somebody there and said, oh, come on my show and talk about that. That's a huge thing, you know?
Well, right. And even you bring up a great point with the Yates and stuff, you know, it through the years, and I followed them. And then as we got to meet and then going to their events and now being a part of them, I look at them as we have become family. I've sadly had some tragedies in my life that have left me to where it's just me and my sister now, as far as, you know, the family. And and so they became, you know, really Jay became like a brother to me, in a sense of having someone to you know, to talk to and really just say, hey, Keith, I'm there for you. So, you know, and that's so crucial, because you don't have that other person. When I had a twin brother who I lost to cancer, that I can, you know, hey, Jay, what's up, man? How's it been going? And just talk, and hey, man, how you been doing? I'm looking forward to you coming out here. And that's why then he gave me some opportunities to come out. And what really warmed my heart, and this is what got it, when he says, Keith, you just I can't tell you how many people told me after you left of how they so enjoyed when they got to go over and investigate with you. And then what you took, that you took the time, you have all the equipment, you handed it out, you let them use it, you showed them how to use it. And then when we got to actually talk to someone's family member who came through, they gave them a message, and we all sat there in tears like, oh, my God. And what they said was like, I had to go outside afterwards and just have a moment to myself, because I was a part of something so much greater inside a little church, a little place out there at Vulture City. And it just took the words, you know, it took the words out of my mouth. I just was like speechless. And that lady later contacted me, you know, and said, Keith, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. And then later I befriended, you know, her husband, and then, and he was like, wow, it just, that was so special. And, wow. And, you know, that, those are those times in life when we meet somebody, if even in a fleeting moment, in a 10 minute investigation in a building, that a loved one came through, that we say, we got to show someone else that loves the paranormal, and us that are involved in the paranormal, of how we reach out to people and are willing to. That's why I open up investigations and don't make it just about the building. Is there someone that wants to try to have a family member that may come through? And then I've had it time after time. They're like, ooh, me, pick me, pick me. And then when they do, it's magical. That's just amazing. So that's why I even tell people going forward, listen, if you want to talk to me or find out about something, or how a piece of equipment works, or maybe a better way to do your investigation, if you're kind of caught in a crossroads, I'm happy. You know, contact me, send me a message, and you know, I may be at work, but when I do get the message, I'll be happy to get with you. I will never, ever, ever, ever be the person that gets to a level to where I'm like, don't feel as if I can't reach out to somebody and be that nice helping guy. Because what am I as an investigator if I don't try to pay that forward and help someone? And sometimes we're even helping our own. So, you know, that'll never be me. So that's why, maybe that's why people say that I'm just a big old teddy bear. But if that's the one word they want to call me, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
That word, that makes you more approachable, and people want to ask you more questions. So that's a good thing. And once you try,
I'm okay with that.
Don't try to no paranormal bullying, because that's just a waste of time and just makes everyone uncomfortable. Just help each other out.
Right. It's true.
So
absolutely.
We've only got a few minutes left, and for those who are listening out there, are going to want to know where can they see you next. And, you know, what's going to be happening for you in the next few months?
Well, so dynamically right now, it's ever evolving. I think the next event that we're slated for is at the USS Salem. If you look at the Paranormal Rewind, look that up. We've got, you know, the updates on that. I know Sam just been out about that going on up in Boston. And so we're looking to have probably 10 people on each team, so we don't have too many, you know, the whole spacing thing. But that's scheduled to be that, and that's going to be the kickoff for the Paranormal Rewind on May the 5th. So that'll be like May the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and then up to those days leading up to, you know, the first kickoff show, Paranormal Rewind, which will be on Tuesday. So that's kind of where that's going to be, that next event that we're looking to do there. And I'm hoping, like I said, this will give us the rest of this month, all of April, and then by May, my prayer going forward is that we should be clear to climb, you know, clear to take off, and we'll be okay to go ahead and do those events. So that's where it is from there. And then the summer is kind of light. There's not a whole lot of paracons that tend to happen there. And then later on the year, of course, Vulture City is another big one. So that's one that's going to be a blast. I always tell people, you're bang for your buck to get to come out to Vulture City with Jay and Maria. There's like, I don't know, 12 buildings out there or something. There's just a slew of them or locations to investigate. And whereas other places you may go and have one building, you've got a whole, you know, a literal, you know, ghost town out there of just places to investigate. So that's going to be later this year. And then, of course, we have the big the Plymouth show in September. Con, and that's going to be, if I'm not mistaken, towards the end of the month. If you look up the Plymouth Paracon, I'm going to be sponsoring that. And then the big one for next year, of course, is Salem Con, and that's going to be in April. So that was a good thing to have that put off till next year, or schedule it for next year, Salem Con. And that's going to be, you know, Salem Con's returning back. Markerville is having that out there. And that's going to be fun. So lots of fun things, you know, sprinkled out there in the paranormal world. But I'm really excited because every one of them is special, because it's an opportunity for you to be there and hang out with folks and just, you know, talk shop and have fun and let our hair down. We work enough at work. I'd say when you come to the Paracons, just sit back, relax, and let's talk the paranormal, you know, because that's what we know and love. So, I look forward to them. Hello?
No, but...